This is a critical Sunday for both the Protestant as well as the Lutheran Church, as this is Reformation Sunday. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 46. Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. The Gospel reading comes from the Holy Book of St. John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon this morning on the Epistle, taken from Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. So here is a Pastor David Magruder with the sermon for this Sunday, entitled, Faith Alone.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther made the six-minute walk from his cloister in Wittenberg to the doors of the castle church. This Augustinian monk, priest, and professor of the Old Testament was just shy of his 34th birthday. Martin Luther wanted to talk about things that were troubling him. The more he was immersed in the study of the Old Testament, the more dissonance was created in his mind between what God's Word said and what the church, the only church he knew, taught. So he wrote out 95 points of debate to talk it all through. The debate he wanted to have revolved around a churchly word, repentance. Repentance means to have a change of mind regarding sin. Instead of loving it, we should turn from it and turn the sin over to Christ, who died to forgive it. The first of those 95 points of debate wasn't a jab at the church in 1517, but the enduring call for repentance found throughout all of Holy Scripture. He wrote, When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. When you cut away all the clutter and filter out the politics of the 16th century, it's clear. The Reformation began with repentance, not rebellion. Of course, repentance as a change of mind is uncomfortable because it's an indicator that there's a problem, that something needs to change. The Apostle Paul sketches out the problem for everyone in Romans chapter 3. "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Faith alone justifies the sinner before God. Faith is simply trust in Christ. Not your works, but Christ's work. Not your righteousness, but Christ's righteousness given to you. Not your blood, sweat, or tears, but Jesus' blood, shed once and for all on the cross. If you don't get this right, then you'll get nothing right. If you don't get this right, then Christianity becomes just another world religion. Every other religion out there is a religion of doing. It's all up to you, or partly you. Your works, your rule-keeping, your zeal. But we confess with St. Paul that good works and commandment-keeping are not anyone's stairway to heaven. The law of God may be good and wise, but it's not your friend. The law of God, which demands perfect obedience, can save no one. It's there to silence all religious boasting. The law is there to shut every mouth and empty every hand, to sweep away every religious credential, and leave you on your knees with nothing to say in your defense except, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, some of you may have undergone an MRI. It's a great diagnostic tool. It can see what the human eye can't see. The procedure reveals the root of the problem, and the results are sometimes shocking. Here's where the tumor's tangled up. Here's where the cartilage should be. Here's why you're in such bad shape. The law of God is our spiritual MRI, peering deeply into the heart of all that we think and say and do. The law sees what we can't see or don't want to see, to reveal the root of the problem, a heart that doesn't fear God or love him or trust in him. The law reveals a heart that's defective, a heart that covets, lusts, envies, hates, murders, fornicates, lies, steals, and slanders. God's law shows a body of death riddled with sin. So what do you do? As a monk, Luther was accustomed to going to confession daily and doing what he was given to do in response to his sin, so that he might quiet his conscience. But when he realized that his doing wasn't doing it, he continued to struggle with his imperfect deeds. He came to the realization, the despair, that his most seemingly holy works couldn't give him peace of mind. And so he was left with nothing but Jesus as his hope. And in a sense, the Reformation for Luther began right there. He began to behold Jesus, not as a judge, but as his Savior, not holding the scales of justice to measure his sins against his good works, but holding the scars that saved him, the wounds that rescued him, the death that Jesus died to free him. "If the Son sets you free," Jesus says, "you will be free indeed." This is what makes Christianity different, distinct from a world of religions. No one else has this, that you, a convicted sinner, guilty as guilty can be, can stand before God and be declared innocent by the blood of another who died for you. Christ became sin for us to free us from our sin. Christ went to death for us to free us from death. He became what we are so that we might become what he is. Jesus takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Luther would later call that a blessed exchange. It's not a deal. It's not a negotiation. It's an exchange. It's not God doing his part so you can get busy doing your part. No, we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. To have faith in Christ is to trust that the deed of our salvation is done, that the exchange is complete, that all bets are off. It is finished, Jesus said with his dying breath, and it is so. But aren't we supposed to do our part? Doesn't God help those who help themselves? Don't my prayers and my offerings and my volunteer hours do something to get me in good with God? No. All fall short, the Bible says, and all are justified by his grace as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. He did not fall short. He accomplished it all at his cross that he might give it all to us, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And we receive it all by faith, faith alone, simple trust that this is so. And that is good news that never gets old. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let the family of Christ confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now, the Pastor David Magruder with the prayer the Lord Jesus has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Collect for the Day. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us here on our website broadcast. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.